They do a lot of stuff every day, all day. So just being in prayer for them, just the Lord doing meeting where they are. And even working hard for them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We need to prepare our hearts for the Lord's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this amazing time to give you glory and worship, Lord. There's something special about coming together as the body of Christ. Being able to sing praise, having access to you to praise, and to hear from your word, your powerful living word, Lord, have your spirit that lives in us, Lord, and indwells us. Take that word and apply it to our lives. Speak to us personally about what you want us to change or how you want us to live. Father, pray that you have your way, Lord, that our ears, the ears of our hearts, the eyes of our hearts, we listen carefully what you have to say. And Father, I pray that you would move in us and change us and mold us into your life. Be with us this morning, Lord. Be with the youth and their camp. And we just pray you bless them and lead them out of the way for our peace. Amen. It's clearly evident that we live in a culture that trains people to be me-focused. It's kind of hard to see. It's evident in the lifestyle that people live, what people treasure the most, what people talk about. It's all about me, what's best for me, what's in it for me, how does this affect me. The impression comes out in different ways. Case in point, probably the way people handle the recent gas shortage. Some may even come to church and have a mindset of what's in it for me, how will this church serve me. Most of our culture is not focused on what's going on in someone else's life. Many would care less about, you know, what's happening in someone else's life. We have to have these things about someone else when we're forbidden thinking about ourselves. This cultural model has trained us to be self-focused. It plays right along with our sinful nature. It's natural for us to look out for ourselves, look out for number one, be self-absorbed. In this passage here, at the point, we get a glimpse of this self-focused mindset and how Jesus demands something different of his followers. So first, look here at what Jesus says about the world's way. The world's way, which equals, how do others serve me? The world's way, how do others serve me? Look here at verse 25 in chapter 20 in Matthew. But Jesus called them to him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Now, in Luke's account of this story, we get a glimpse of this discussion that's going on among the disciples. They're having with each other. Who's going to be the greatest in our little group here? The greatest in the coming kingdom. And then to make it worse, we see in this story that the mother of James and John, she wants Jesus to show some favoritism toward her Lord. She wants him to have a prominent position in Jesus' kingdom. And therefore, there's some rivalry going on here. Everyone's kind of thinking pretty selfishly at this moment, not really understanding what the coming kingdom was all about. And so they're modeling what they saw in the Roman world around them. They had in mind Jesus would set this earthly kingdom, and in his reign, they would reign with him. They wanted to make sure that they could secure for themselves a high position. This is their mindset. This is what they're thinking right now. And this is the same mentality of the world. This is the world's way. But Jesus called it out. He first reminded them of the culture of this world in verse 25. He reminded them of how they interact with one another. And he reveals the lifestyle of the people in charge and how they abuse their positions of power and authority. There's great pride in exercising their authority over others. They want their will to be done no matter the cost of someone else. When they lord their position over others, it's because they have no concern for anyone else but themselves. It's all about me. It's all about what I want to accomplish. And if you think about it, after 2,000 years, not much has changed. Jesus would say the same thing about our culture today. The workplace is full of competition and rivalry. constantly stepping over others to get to work their way up the ladder. People are constantly cutting others down so they can have their will be done. People are promoting themselves. They're building up their own image. They're creating their own brand so they can look better than the next person, so they can outdo someone else, so they can push someone else out of the way so they can get what they want. This is the normal practice. This is the normal culture of our world. This is the world's way. Not only in the workplace, though, this happens in families. And what we know, it happens in the church as well. Since we live and work and play in this world, we're influenced by it. Just as the disciples were right here, and this influence leads us to take hold of some of the world's ways. Therefore, it becomes natural for us to bring this mindset into our families, into our churches, and even into our ministries. This mindset starts to influence how we treat others, how we work together. So what is our ultimate goal? And then we find ourselves wanting to know, how will others serve me? What can I get out of this? How can I have my way? We clearly see the effect of this on people's lives. We see it all around us. Gossip and backbiting and bitterness and division and unforgiveness, a lack of care for one another, and it leads to a loss of hope and loneliness and depression and even desperation. James 3:16 states, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every body." That kind of mindset, that kind of heart that is jealous and has selfish ambition as a motive. But Jesus wanted something entirely different from his followers. The mindset and behavior of God's children would be the opposite of that of the world. Jesus would set his followers apart from the world in holiness, in character, love, and mercy, and service. He would put to death our selfish bent by changing our nature to be like that of his. Instead of saying, "How will we serve? How will others serve me?" His followers would say, "How will I serve others? How will I serve others?" This is Jesus' way. How will I serve others? Look here, verses 46 and 48. "It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life." Now, after reminding them of the world's way, Jesus tells them in verse 46, "It shall not be so among you." In other words, this shouldn't be your mindset. This shouldn't be the way you interact with others. This shouldn't be the way you lead others. In fact, he takes it to a whole new level. You guys are fighting about who's going to be the greatest or who's going to be first in charge. And then look what he says there in verse 46. "Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave." Wow. You see, this would have blown their minds. And I have to wonder if this was one of the reasons that they had such a hard time believing Jesus said who he was. And just the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God in the flesh, serving. I just wonder if this was one of the things, one of the problems they had. Like, think about it. Jesus had been modeling this for them all along. He in no way acted as a king or ruler of their day, or even was in the past. Jesus, when he was totally opposite from that of the world, he came serving. Jesus says he's God, he's the Son of God, he's the King, he's the Messiah, but look at the way he lives. We've never seen a ruler or a king like this before. He's a servant. He was telling them that following him was all about serving others. It was about submitting yourself to be a bondservant, which meant there are no menial tasks that are beneath. There are no menial tasks that are beneath you. See, as a servant and bondservant, you're willing to do whatever needs to be done in order to serve others, in order to be a blessing to the whole family of God. That might even be cleaning toilets. Jesus did the equivalent when he washed the disciples' feet. You know that? See, that was the servant's job at that time. They just started to stop the Austrian media and I shoot. Come on. He used to be equivalent when he walks to the side of the street. Can you imagine? The Creator, the King of Kings, washing the feet of the man. Jesus' way was about empowering us, not in power over us. It was about building others up above yourself, not putting in people beneath you. It was about using your position to better your fellow brothers and sisters. Philippians chapter 2. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to be flipping back and forth between Philippians chapter 2 and then back to the next story. We want to look at verses 3 and 4 because it's kind of clues us in what this is. Getting an example of Jesus' humility and servanthood. And in this passage in Philippians 2, 3 and 4, it gets clues us in this a little bit. It says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. But in humility, count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. You see, the world's way breeds selfish ambition and conceit. Humility is the opposite of pride. Humility is one of the most important traits when it comes to getting along with other people, maintaining unity. You see, a humble person yields himself to Christ to be a servant. To use what he has or what he is for the glory of God and good others. Think about that. Humble servant is not focused on himself, nor is this person consumed with his own interests. Look what he said in verse 4 there. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Paul here is giving them an example, even as he writes his letter to the Philippians. Think about it. Paul is in prison at this moment. And he's not focused on his own circumstances. He's not focused on his own well-being. He's focused on the well-being of others. He cares so much about the church. He's more concerned about the interests of others than his own interests. In humility, he's telling others more significant than himself. He's a servant. Think about his mindset, the kind of heart he has. How many times are we quick to tell others about all that's going on in our life and never take the time to listen to someone else? How many times when someone else shares something with us, we're thinking in our minds how bad we are? How many times after listening to someone else are we quick to stop their story with one of our own? It may be that we're so consumed with our own circumstances that we have no time to think about the interest. You see, without humility, we will only look out, we only look at our own lives. Without humility, we will not think to serve someone else. In our pride, deep down, we want others to serve us. We somehow believe that we deserve this. In our pride, we will always want others to see it our way because otherwise that would mean that we're not getting up. Jesus' way is desperately needed, and not only in the world, but in our Christian culture, the Christian culture today, a culture that is filled with celebrity Christianity. We see it all the time. It's times of evangelism and worship, abuse of the gospel, or personal gain, abuse of the priestly calling in order to take advantage of others and be served. One fallen leader after another. This should not be so among the church. This competition, this trying to outdo one another. We should not treat each other as the world does. Jesus can give them no greater example than himself. We'll just slip back over the place there and we'll come back to Philippians. But in Matthew 20, verse 20, Jesus said, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom. Jesus demonstrated the greatest example of humility the world has ever seen. And then back in Philippians 2, 5, and 8, he explains this humility. And listen to what he says. Philippians 2, 5, and 8, he says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality of God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by His death would be a ransom. Jesus left the glories of heaven to come down to the earth, to take on flesh and become like one of us. To be the only God-man, the only mediator between God and us. The King of Kings, who created all things, humbled himself to be a servant to those he created. Wow! That is amazing. As a servant to us, he did everything necessary for our survival. As a servant to us, he overcame flesh. He overcame temptation. He overcame sin and lived a perfect life. As a servant to us, he walked the difficult road set before him in order to obey the Father's will, to accomplish the Father's will. As a servant to us, he lived a perfect life of holiness. He loved us in a way that the world's never seen. And yet he was betrayed by his own people, whom he loved, handed over to the Romans for crucifixion. As a servant, as he served us by allowing a false trial to take place and not using his perfect wisdom to get out of it. He kept silent. He just kept silent. Because he knew that in order to serve us, he would have to allow the Romans to nail him to that cross. Because he knew it was the only way. Only he could shed his perfect blood for the forgiveness of our sins. He was the final, perfect, and sacrifice for us. Only he could rise from the grave and defeat death and sin. Only he cares. He lives. He's still serving us today. He lives to offer all people forgiveness of sin, eternal life, for those who repent of their sin, for those who believe in him and what he did for us and surrender their lives to him. You will be forgiven, completely forgiven of all your sins. And guess what? Jesus is at the throne of God right now, interceding for us, helping us along, empowering us. He's still serving us today. What an example of servant of Jesus is. Jesus' way said, how can I serve someone else? What can I do to serve others? What part does God want me to play that will benefit? You see, when we come to Christ, we may not realize the transformation that Jesus wants to bring about in our lives. You see, when we surrender our life to Christ, we may not realize what his terms are, because we're kind of holding tightly to our own terms of God. We may not realize that in Christ, we not only serve him, we serve others. This should be an example that the world sees in us, the church. This should be the way we serve one another. Not only thinking about our own interests, but thinking about the interests of others. Being in humility. Not saying, you know what, that's just something I'm not going to do. There are many tasks that are going to be as a bondservant. We serve as Christ served. Father, Christ has always been about sacrifice. Think about what Jesus said in Matthew 16:24. He said, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. See, when we surrender our lives to Christ, we are crucified with him. When he comes into our lives, he puts to death our fleshly desires. He defeats our selfish nature. He overcomes it, and he slowly changes the nature of our heart to be like that of his. And as he does that, he transforms us into humble service. What he wants to do is transforming us into humble servants. Think of the witness that we can be in this world when we don't act, live, lead like others do. Romans 12:1 tells us that we present our bodies as living sacrifices, that is holy and acceptable to God. You see, every day we fight the battle between our flesh and spirit. Every day for control of our lives. That's what it's for. We're battling. When we surrender to our flesh, when we surrender to the Spirit, we surrender our lives to Christ in order that he may lead us into his will. And with every sacrifice we make, it's really no sacrifice. Because when we hear what Jesus has given us, the free gift that he has given us, eternal life, compared to that reward that we do not deserve, there is no sacrifice. The mindset, this
mindset and attitude that Christ gives us drives us to serve others as he served us. With humility, with a sacrificial love, an unconditional love, which means I'm not waiting for somebody to love me first so that I can love them in return. I'm going to love them in me. And I'm going to serve them no matter what it is. He served us with great sacrifice, all for the greater good. This is the mindset and attitude that we have in Christ. Soon we're going to move into a new church here. And starting today, we have this opportunity to seriously pray and seek the Lord for wisdom about where and how the Lord is going to serve in this body of believers. This is so important. I know you served last year in some committee or something, but you never know what the Lord is leading you to do this year. At this time, you have the opportunity to ask the Lord. You're going to be asking the Lord, what are my spiritual gifts? What's my spiritual gifts? What are my spiritual or giftings? Some people have more than one. You try to think through that. Lord, what is my spiritual gift that you've given me? How can I use it to serve this body? Or maybe you don't know what your spiritual gift is. Well, so you need to serve in different ways in order to discern what it is. You have the opportunity to pray about which ministry team you'd like to serve with. As we all go through this spiritual process, we need to have the right mindset, the right motive of our heart. We want to follow Jesus' way, his example of humility. I want to do this because I love Christ. And I want to be a blessing to his people. And I want to glorify him. But this is giving you everything. And so it's out of humility and a servant who is just that part of wanting and desiring to serve Christ that we pray through and ask the Lord where he wants us to serve. It's not about me. What can I do with this? What's in it for me? Who can I be? How can I get my way? It's about serving Christ and having that and love for your brothers. We want to follow Jesus' example. Let's look after the interests of others, seeking to glorify God and how we serve others. It's a wonderful thing to walk in the Lord's will. It is a wonderful thing to walk in those works that we learn about in Ephesians 3:10, works that were prepared for us before the Lord. It's a wonderful thing for God to lead us into those things. It's a wonderful thing to serve God in everything that he's gifted you in. Not just out of duty. Well, this has to be done. So I've got to do it. It's a wonderful thing to serve God in the area of giftedness that he's given you. The way he's leading you, the way he's empowering you. Part of our spiritual growth can only come from obeying the Lord and serving him. Walking in obedience and following him. Some spiritual growth that we need only comes from that. With the body. That's why the body parts are so important. It's like the only job training that we need in order to be the people that God's training. It's a wonderful thing to bless others and to serve. So may we follow Jesus' lead and allow him to transform us into humble servants so that we may serve others so faithfully. Not just the people of this community, not just the people of this church, but also the people of this community. The ministry that we do not only affect his body, it affects the community. And we want others to see us serving in a way that reflects Christ. And I see that. I see that in you. And others have seen that too. And as we do that, our witness stands right before others. And people see something different in us, and we have an opportunity to share the gospel. If the worship team comes, are there areas in your life that you need to? You lead others. Think about it in your workplace, at home, in the church, or wherever, in your community. Do you lead others according to the world flag of Jesus? Because we looked at both, and they are completely opposite. Do you look for ways to serve others, or are you expecting others to serve you? Allow God to have his way in this morning. Respond to what he's telling you to do this morning. Surrender to his plan and purpose for your life. to rest on.
There are things in my life, spiritual growth that I need that comes from your spiritual gift. And when you serve, it blesses you. And when you serve, it blesses someone else. It's part of being part of God's plan. It's a wonderful thing that God is doing. So let's allow Him to evaluate our hearts this morning. Listen to what the Spirit is telling you. Take time to pray through those things back there. Maybe this week you have an opportunity.